Now, one day after House Judiciary Committee hearing on findings from the Intelligence Committee, the Judiciary Committee's chairman, Representative Gerald Nadler of New York, announced a pair of articles of impeachment this morning. Nadler echoed his statements from yesterday, pinpointing the argument that President Trump put himself above the law and before the country. Also, in this week, this young week, the Inspector General for the Justice Department released a report on the origins of the FBI investigation into the Trump campaign and Russian election interference in 2016. It found no political bias at the heart of the probe, but did point out some problematic actions by investigators. Paul Nolet is an associate professor of political science at Marquette University. Paul, welcome back.
Hi, great to talk with you.
Well, two huge stories. We'll tackle both of them a little bit today, Paul. First, let's start with the articles of impeachment. What is at the heart of each of the articles here?
Yeah, so there's two articles of impeachment. The first one is abuse of power. And that is really, I think, in some ways, the critical one, because that one gets to the allegation that President Trump used his position as president to try to influence, in this case, Ukraine's actions to get involved in the presidential election, particularly by investigating Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, and his role on a corporation in Ukraine. The second article of impeachment is contempt of Congress, and this has to do with the investigation itself and allegations from Congress that the president was getting in the way of the investigation that Congress was doing of the investigation of President Trump, Hunter Biden, Ukraine, and that entire story. So there's two articles of impeachment. There was some question about whether there were going to be more, but they settled on these two. So they narrowed it down, focused like a laser on the Ukraine issue as opposed to getting into broader issues.
And that obstruction of Congress issue, they made a constitutional argument as I read it, saying, hey, the Constitution says Congress shall have the sole power of impeachment by not allowing White House staff, for example, to testify or sharing documents. The president is asserting that the executive branch has some control over the course of an impeachment. So it's they're saying he's violating the constitutional terms of impeachment, if I have that right.
Yeah, and it really comes down to the fact that the Constitution is very vague in terms of the process used in impeachment. It does say that the House has the sole power of impeachment, as you mentioned, even though executive privilege and similar doctrines are not actually in the Constitution itself. Presidents have long claimed that Congress cannot go beyond its power to invade, essentially, the separation of powers and the ability of the executive to do its own job. So there's definitely that pushback coming from the executive branch in terms of how much they really need to comply with Congress here.
Republicans over the course of the hearing so far have criticized Democrats for moving too quickly with proceedings. As part of the announcement this morning from Democrats, here's what California Representative Adam Schiff, chair of the House Intelligence Committee, had to say about that.
The argument, why don't you just wait, amounts to this. Why don't you just let him cheat in one more election? Why not let him cheat just one more time? Why not let him have foreign help just one more time? That is what that argument amounts to.
What do you make, Paul, of the decision not to wait out the courts to see if they can compel members of the White House team to come before Congress and testify?
Yeah, I think from the Democrats' perspective, they said, look, what the Trump administration is doing here is stonewalling. They're just trying to play out the string here by going to the courts, having weeks, months, perhaps even years worth of delays before we can get any additional information. And from the Democrats' perspective, they already have enough evidence to move forward on this. Of course, the Republicans respond by saying, look, you know, there are people that we want to interview, for one thing, not the least of which might be, you know, Hunter Biden and kind of investigating that piece of things as well. And you're not allowing us that opportunity, Democrats. So there's very much the Republicans and Democrats here are almost on different planets in terms of how they're talking about how this process has gone.
Let's give a listen to one of those Republicans now. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, also from California, was at a GOP press conference this morning on a variety of topics. Responding to this announcement, he said a lot of the same things we've heard from Republicans so far, including that Democrats have refused to accept the results of the 2016 election.
Impeachment is the removal of the highest elected person in this land. I don't care if you think Americans who support President Trump are deplorables, but you do not have the right to disqualify their vote just because you do not like President Trump.
And that's at the heart of one of the arguments here, at least, Paul, that, okay, impeachment would override the votes of people in 2016. Democrats saying, well, we're doing this because the president's actions threaten the votes in 2020.
Right, exactly. And I think if the more that this goes into 2020, now I think the House will finish up before the new year, but the Senate trial, if that occurs, will be next year. I think the Republicans' argument about, well, why don't we just let the voters decide? The closer that we get to next November, I think the stronger that argument, at least rhetorically, might be. I do think, you know, Democrats certainly have a point when they push back and they say, well, this isn't overturning the will of the voters, and it's certainly not unconstitutional, given that it is itself impeachment, a constitutional process. And if abuse of power, in the view of Democrats, goes to the level where Congress ought to act about it, then really Congress has an obligation to move forward with impeachment proceedings and perhaps impeachment itself.
Talking to Paul Nolet from Marquette University, looking at the articles of impeachment released this morning. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and questions. Also, yesterday, an inspector general's report in the Justice Department looked at the origins of the Russia probe. This was long awaited. I think in a normal week, Paul, this would be the top story. Now it's just, you know, a top story. Talk about the investigation into the origins of this investigation.
Right. So this report comes out of an internal investigation with the inside the FBI about how they were engaged in the investigation of various Trump aides during the 2016 election. In particular, it focused in on Carter Page, who was a foreign policy advisor for Trump, and one that the FBI had gotten what's known as a FISA warrant, essentially an intelligence warrant to surveil Carter Page. And so Republicans have long complained that this was an example of members of the government proceeding with political bias against the Trump campaign and then administration. And Democrats have said, well, it seems like the FBI had enough to go along here to actually investigate the Trump administration and initially the Trump campaign. So I think overall there's enough from this report that both Democrats and Republicans have taken out of and really highlighted to advance their own arguments about what actually happened here with the Russia investigation.
Let's take each of those in turn, Paul. The key finding, and the FBI director Christopher Wray has highlighted this himself, saying this was not motivated by political bias. That was the finding of the report. Talk about that part of the report before we get to the problems it found in the FBI's approach.
Right. So this is the part that the FBI and a number of Democrats have really highlighted. So the report found that the surveillance of Carter Page and others of the Trump campaign was not motivated by political bias. So they did not find evidence that there was some sort of, you know, deep state conspiracy to go after Trump. So I think that was, in some ways, at least that part of it was a vindication of the FBI, especially against increasing attacks from President Trump himself, who said, hey, all these people within the deep state are out to get me. And so there wasn't any evidence of that in this report.
And the report also found that this was a warranted investigation. There was enough there to open the investigation, but finding some problems, finding some shortcuts taken, documents altered in some of these surveillance request documents, these FISA requests.
Right, exactly. And so this really had to go to the process that the FBI was using in order to start the surveillance of Carter Page. And a lot of it had to do with, their perhaps mischaracterizing the dossier that Christopher Steele, a British intelligence agent, had put together that the FBI had used to essentially get these surveillance warrants, and on the tip that there were connections between perhaps the Russian government and the Trump campaign. And so the findings here were that the process that the FBI went through were flawed, that they overstated some of what was in that Steele dossier, and that certain procedures should be reformed moving forward.
I want to give a listen to President Trump reacting to this report earlier today. He and the attorney general, for that matter, disputed some of the conclusions here. Here's the president.
Well, they fabricated evidence and they lied to the courts and they did all sorts of things to have it go their way. And this was something that we can never allow to happen again. The report actually, and especially when you look into it and the details of the report, are far worse than anything I would have even imagined.
He also said at the time he had yet to get a full briefing on the report, worse than he could have imagined?
Well, I think there's enough there for Trump and Republicans to latch on to complain about the process. But overall, though, looking at this report, I think the thing that really stands out is a broader concern that actually even goes beyond Trump and goes back a few years, which is that the FBI frequently gets these FISA warrants, these intelligence warrants to surveil, and the court that is supposed to be the roadblock to law enforcement doing this is too often a rubber stamp. I mean, some studies have indicated that well over 99% of the FISA warrant requests that come in from the FBI and other law enforcement are granted. So it's almost become routine. So I think in some ways, even though it's become a partisan back and forth between Democrats and Republicans, I do think that there's a bigger issue here about the process of surveillance and intelligence gathering in the United States.
Talking to Paul Nolet, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University, looking at the two articles of impeachment announced today and a report from the Justice Department looking at the origins of the Russia investigation and Trump campaign that started in 2016. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you make of the two articles of impeachment that have been drafted so far? Should others be added? Should they all be dropped? What do you want to see come out of the House and then the Senate if it goes there? And what's your reaction to this Inspector General report saying political bias wasn't behind the 2016 Russia probe, but there were problems with some of the procedures here? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue the conversation with Marquette University political science professor Paul Nolet, looking at articles of impeachment announced today from the U.S. House Judiciary Committee and a new Department of Justice report on the FBI's investigation of then-candidate Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. You can join in on either topic at 800-642-1234. How closely are you following the impeachment process? What do you want to see come out of this? What do you think of the two articles of impeachment we have released today? Drafts of those released today. And what do you think about the Inspector General's report on the origins of the investigation into Russian election interference and the Trump campaign? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Charlie is with us in Milwaukee. Charlie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was just going to ask your guest, the impeachment process appeared extremely biased and unfair. Because it was controlled by the Democrats in the House. Does he think that the Senate trial will be just as biased and unfair in the Senate, or are we going to try to approach some type of civility and try to get along to make this not so much a political weapon and something that we can avoid in the future?
Charlie,
thank you.
Thanks a lot for that call. Let's take that in two parts, Paul. Let's start with the House. Republicans certainly making the case over the last couple of weeks that Democrats have steamrolled them, not given them a fair shake in the various hearings. What do you make of that concern?
Yeah, and I think the issue both in the House and potentially in the Senate is that you know, I think this sort of process is inevitably biased in the sense that the majority gets the control of the show. You know, the House constitutionally has the sole power of impeachment. The Senate has the sole power to try impeachments, which means that they can create the process that they wish to see. So I think Democrats in the House are going to create a process that's most advantageous to them in the House. And I think that that was true by and large. They got more witnesses. They controlled the pace of the proceedings. In the Senate, I think you'll see the same thing on the Republican side, where Republicans will create a process that's most advantageous to them, with Democrats complaining. So I, you know, it's one of these things that often the impeachment process is likened to a court trial, like in the judiciary. But while there are some similarities, it is a very, very political process. And in these polarized times, you're going to have that partisanship and that polarization really come out.
Now, in the Senate, assuming it goes there, which is not a done deal yet, the impeachment articles would have to be voted on and passed on from the House. Leading Republicans in the Senate have been talking to the White House. Some reporting coming out that, saying that President Trump wants a longer trial with lots of witnesses. Senate Republican leadership may want a faster deal without calling lots of witnesses on either side. What do you make of that back and forth?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, and it'll be very interesting to see to what extent the Senate leaders, like Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, how much he takes the cue from the president or tries to set up a process that, in his view, is most advantageous for the Republicans. And, you know, I think all things being equal, I think from Mitch McConnell's point of view, a shorter trial makes a lot more sense, because just strategically, because there's less chance of surprises coming up, and you know, fewer chances for the Democrats to step in and try to make some of their case. So I think ultimately, even though President Trump is saying, oh, I want to have this long trial, my guess is that it's going to be on the shorter side.
Charlie, thanks for that call. We're talking to Paul Nolet from Marquette University, looking at the big national stories. Two articles of impeachment out today. Big report out from the Department of Justice Inspector General. Back to your calls. Chris is with us in Neshota. Chris, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Chris?
Well, first of all, I'm glad that we're somewhat vindicated that, you know, the investigation by the FBI was appropriate. However, I'm troubled by the fact that procedures weren't exactly followed. I think that gives Republicans more ammunition. That's really not necessary. Procedures should have been followed. And also, I've been listening very closely to the impeachment hearings. Most people aren't actually listening. And although I think President Trump should be impeached, I think the Republicans do have some valid points as far as some procedures also there that should be followed that aren't being followed.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. So Chris, ultimately in favor of impeaching the president, but she wanted it done right and maybe is worried that it wasn't done right, Paul.
Yeah, and you know, it's I think when it comes to impeachment, this inherently political process, that it's not terribly surprising that Democrats and Republicans are on two different planets as far as how they think the fairness of this impeachment process has gone. And, you know, I think it's in some ways there's a couple of things going on here that Chris mentioned, two different processes. One, on the impeachment side, where the House really has the full ability to control the process in the way that it wants. And then as far as the FBI getting surveillance warrants, which really is a process that I think is particularly concerning, since the judiciary, the special court, is supposed to be involved and be a roadblock and just isn't in when it comes to these FISA warrants. And again, I think this goes beyond Trump and Carter Page and the 2016 election to point to some broader problems within the process of surveillance in the United States. So I think Chris is absolutely right that there's some issues with the process, both on the impeachment side, I think particularly on the FISA warrant side, that should be looked into going forward.
Thanks for that call, Chris. Paul, just a few moments left. So next steps, we'll see the House deal with these articles of impeachment. Another report apparently coming from the Department of Justice, instigated by Attorney General Barr. What's at the top of your mind in the next, 2 weeks? That seems like a long time in American politics these days.
Yeah, probably a lot will happen. Well, I do fully expect at this point within the next week and a half, that the Judiciary Committee in the House will vote on these two articles of impeachment, and then the full House shortly after will. So it'll be turned over to the Senate by the end of the year. And so what I'd look for is an indication, going back to a point that we talked a little bit about before, is, you know, how long does it look like this trial is going to be? Is it going to be a trial with lots and lots of witnesses that goes on weeks, or is this going to be something that, you know, is wrapped up in a month or even less? So I think that's one big thing there. And then when it comes to the FBI, it'll be interesting to see how Bill Barr, the Attorney General, continues to handle these reports. For instance, the Inspector General's report from the FBI, because he was in some ways almost shockingly critical of, the FBI within his own Department of Justice over the last 24 hours or so. So any additional comment from Bill Barr, the Attorney General, on this will be interesting to follow.
Paul, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.
It's Paul Nolet, Associate Professor of Political Science at Marquette University, with us to talk about impeachment and the Department of Justice Inspector General report. Tomorrow on Central Time, we'll get the latest on impeachment, plus the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement and other top stories in our weekly roundup of big news in national politics. That and lots more tomorrow on Central Time.